Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, let's start off with just a quick comment on what we're seeing in the markets today. We're seeing a little bit of a rebound in the U.S. equity markets, the S&P, the Dow, NASDAQ, all up about 0.75% or of a percent. That's the Dow up almost 200 points. So we're getting a little bit of a snapback rally after that fall yesterday in the U.S. equity markets, but it is interesting that it's not taking back all of those gains from yesterday. Plus, I think even more interestingly, we're seeing the U.S. dollar down almost 50 basis points back below that 99 level, and that's helping base metals move a bit higher. What do you think is a takeaway from today, if any?
Well, there's two different things, Corey. First of all, with the news out of Hong Kong that the procurator, I guess for lack of a better term, of that country, Carrie Lam, is officially withdrawing this controversial extradition law that the Chinese mainland wanted but was being very energetically fought in Hong Kong. So that's, you score up one victory in a battle, even if the war is still going on, for the people who want more liberty in Hong Kong. But the rest of the issues are still there. So in my view, that's basically an excuse for people after yesterday's near 300-point drop in the Dow to get some of that back today. But I don't think any more than I did yesterday or the end of last week that there's a snowball's chance of the market breaking above the upper end of its recent very volatile trading range. So most people keep score of such things by the S&P 500. You've got a very well-defined resistance level where rallies have run out around 2940. The support has been at 2825. And if I was a betting man, and I would bet today that we are going to break the bottom of that range before there's any reason to break the top, because there is no fundamental reason to go above the top of that range. So that's my comment on the market. As far as the dollar is concerned, it's more a story of a rebounding euro and British pound than it is any fundamental change in the factors that have driven the dollar higher. And those bounces, of course, in the pound, which comprises a small part of the U.S. dollar index, of course, is because Boris Johnson suffered a defeat yesterday and seamlessly go toward a no-deal Brexit after all by October 31st, which is something my gut has told me for a while. I'm very much rooting for the British people and for Johnson, but there's powerful forces at work that want to keep the UK in that whole monstrosity, and they may still succeed. So as far as markets are concerned, that care about money and power and not liberty, that's a good thing. And so it caused the pound to rally and the euro a bit as well.
Okay. There's one other bigger topic here that I think is even more important, and it does come down to central banks. And a lot of what we've been seeing in terms of moving markets is central banks and politics. But one of the consistencies we've seen with central banks is this desire to go lower for longer in terms of interest rates and even potential QE programs, although most of the focus right now is on interest rates. However, in some of these other central banks, even including the Fed, we've seen some members come out and voice displeasure or at least question the whole continued policy of lower interest rates for longer. We had recent members out of the ECB come out and make comments, even Bank of Japan members. And just recently when the Fed did cut rates, I think we had maybe two dissents. We had at least one dissent. Do you think that this could be a trend where more central bank presidents or at least members of these central banks start to say, you know what, these policies just aren't working, so we need to stop going down this road?
Well, that's easier said than done to accomplish any kind of a sea change, Corey. The laws of mathematics as well as thermodynamics and a whole lot of other stuff, if I wanted to get cute about it, are already well underway. There is no turning back under the present system of fractional reserve banking. There is no other alternative but to go into negative territory, flood the world with cheap yen and dollars and yuan and euros and hope that they can keep the inevitable at bay for a while longer. And again, it's simple math as far as how fractional reserve system works. You do have some individuals here and there who are trying to slow down this move. But, you know, just this morning in the news, you have two major figures who, one of whom at least has a lot more to say about things in the end, going the other direction. Christine Lagarde, who has been running the IMF and come 2 months from now is going to take over the European Central Bank from the retiring Mario Draghi. She just defended in front of Europe's Parliament negative interest rates and quantitative easing, and she promised there's more of it coming because it's done so wonderfully well to this point. Now, of course, you know, you could say, ask what planet she's living on, but she can't say anything other than that. And furthermore, as political as she is in wanting to be part of keeping Europe together, and I've said this countless times, they will turn the euro into the equivalent of Zimbabwe's currency before they let anybody leave and before they let any banks go belly up, which a lot of them have been on the edge of for a while. So, you know, in Europe, there is no question, whatever a few dissenters might say, that they're going to continue going in the same direction. Rumor has it that late next week when the ECB meets, that they will unveil more of the same. We'll see what happens. There's some rumor in the market today that it may not be quite as much shock and awe as was originally thought. That's another small reason for the euro's dead cat bounce today, but the trend is unmistakable. And as far as here, we were treated this morning to Alan Greenspan and his interview on CNBC, increasingly sounding like Joe Biden, not sure what day of the week it is or what he's saying, or completely answering questions, understanding questions, I should say. And I don't say that to be personally unkind. I mean, he's 90 years old or thereabouts. But, you know, here's a guy who, and I've said this so many times, there is no single policymaker in U.S. history that did more damage to this country and to the world than Alan Greenspan did, in part by unleashing unregulated derivatives on the world that will blow up again inevitably. We're not far from that, most likely. And taking any lessons on monetary policy from him, as I've quipped before, is like taking lessons on knife safety from Jack the Ripper. But here's another guy who still has a lot of prominence, still has a lot of clout in financial journalism, who this morning said that it is inevitable that the U.S. will join Japan and Europe in negative interest rates. Greenspan is not in the hot seat, though. Jerome Powell is in the hot seat. He's not going to come right out and tell you that the Fed is going to go down the same road. They're trying to keep a brave face on things still, even though the odds are very much against them. Yes, you've got a couple of dissenters like Rosengren and Esther George last time around dissented from the rate cut. We'll see what happens when the Fed cuts rates, most likely another 25 basis points. I think it's the week after the ECB, but I don't have the calendar in front of me right now, but it's this month. But look, again, it's a case of simple mathematics. That's the direction things are going. And indicated yesterday, Corey, this is not good news. I mean, the equity markets shouldn't be taking any solace in the central banks continuing down this road, because things are an intransigent, the renewed recession and deflation forces are that the central banks even have to do this. And I mean, notably, even, you know, any days, and this has been going on for a while, you see, you know, whether it's base metals or more often stocks or corporate bond levels, they rally, and you should therefore see significant or more significant sell-off in treasuries. You don't see it. Because that's where we're heading. So it's a matter of time. I was thinking with a buddy of mine of starting a kind of a pool, might have an over and under or something like that of what day it's going to be when the 10-year Treasury breaks the double bottom that we saw in both July of 2012 and in July of 2016.
Okay, so you think it is going to just continue lower, and you know what? That is very much the trend. We are having a couple technical difficulties here, but we are going to just wrap it up with one more question then, Chris. If the path of least resistance, or at least the path of only direction for rates is lower, a lot of people are focusing on rates, and you know what? Lower rates, I don't think have really helped boost a whole lot. Maybe it's helped support these markets from straight falling out of bed, but the next step after lower rates are QE programs, or at least in my mind, they are. Do you think that could be the boost that maybe the markets are waiting for, or traders just in general? It's rather than cheap money, it's more free money.
Well, Corey, as you and I have talked about before, and I've been saying this incessantly, there is nothing at this point that the central banks can do to move the needle very much on either economic activity or inflation. They've shown it numerous times. The Japanification of Japan has now spread to being the Japanification of Europe, and a lot of people are holding their breath that it's going to come here to the U.S. So the only thing that really stands a chance of doing anything even half legitimate, and underscore half of that, is you're going to have to see some fiscal policy of a substantial kind. You're going to have to see a major global effort either towards infrastructure programs, climate change fighting of various ways with various products and technology, whatever, and basically build these new components of the economy, create investment banks around them. Wall Street will run to the rescue with securitization of those products. That will cause some new private sector money and credit generation that at least would do something to employ people and take care of some of society's needs, of course, at the expense of ever-growing debt, which we'll have. But in relative terms, there would be more traction from something like that than there would be from the central banks continue to do the same thing over and over again and failing, but expecting a different result.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If they can get some sort of infrastructure, even climate change programs, then you know what? At least the money is getting into potentially building stuff or filtering its way down to the average individual through more jobs, stuff like that, rather than just simply landing in the market. But boy, it seems like we're ways away from that. Who knows, though? Right now, lower for longer does seem to be the trend that we are in. And watching these day-to-day moves in markets, while nothing too noteworthy today, really just go to show that I think investors are still trying to weigh both sides of the argument while still being quite nervous. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for kicking off today. Have a great rest of your day.